Well, good morning again, everybody, and welcome to our strange new world. Although I have to say it's wonderful, really miraculous that we can come together in this way. So many doors have been closed in the last week or so, and yet many doors have opened. This particular door has opened for members who for years have not been able to attend sittings because of distance, health, or other reasons. And today, they are magically transported to this virtual Zendo. So welcome all. This is a time of tremendous turmoil and change, much of it very uncomfortable. None of us know what will happen next. Uncertainty reigns. Those of us who live in the state of Colorado are now under a kind of house arrest. The governor has issued a stay-at-home order that applies to everyone, sick or not sick. Grocery store shelves are empty. The streets are nearly deserted. Businesses are closed. So much human activity has come to a halt. It's like one of those end of the world science fiction movies. In such circumstances, it's very easy to fall prey to frustration, fear, and even anger. We might be wondering, why is all this happening now to me? Why do the particular forms and perceptions we personally experience arise? Where does it all come from? Why is it that things are as they are and not some other way? Why has my life taken this particular direction instead of some other? In times of stress, these questions come to the surface. They come out of suffering, a deep sense of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and a desire for something beyond life as we've known it up to now. Yet often we're not able to come to grips with this suffering in a way that seems to really help our situation or create any effective change in our lives. The short answer to all these questions is karma. Karma is a Sanskrit word meaning energy or action. It's the law of cause and effect as it applies to our personal lives, with an emphasis on our moral and ethical behavior. We don't talk much about karma in modern Western societies, or even in the Zen sect for that matter. This is not to say it's unimportant. It is of supreme importance. Karma is the one great fact of our lives in time and space. Everything that we experience, including the rising and passing away of thoughts, feelings, and our very sense of self, is the karma of this moment, the result of the ignorance that has continued through countless past rebirths over kalpas. Our experience of this moment and each moment is karmically generated. All that we are, all that we hear, see, taste, touch, and even think is the karma of eons. Each one of us is a manifestation of the working out of karma. The energy that drives karma is volitional action. It drives karma and the wheel of samsara, the continuing life, the continuing cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. If karma is not seriously addressed and realized, it becomes the elephant in the living room that everyone avoids talking about. We must accept and realize our karmic human nature with all its faults and frailties before we can deal with it realistically. Thank you. The koan that addresses this most directly is case number 97 in the Blue Cliff Record. The case reads, the Diamond Sutra says, one who is reviled by others has done wicked acts in former lifetimes, which doom him to fall into evil worlds. But because of the scorn and vilification by others in the present life, the transgressions in the former life are wiped out. Well, the circumstances of today may not involve being reviled in the classic sense. But for whatever reasons, we find ourselves strangers in a strange land. And it's easy to lash out and look for someone or something to blame. What do we do with it? Buddhism, Christianity, and Judaism all have this in common. All three emphasize personal responsibility. Wei Nong, the sixth Chinese ancestor of Zen, said, when others are wrong, I am wrong. When I am wrong, I alone am to blame. It's hard to imagine a more complete taking of responsibility. The Buddha said much the same thing when he said, throughout heaven and earth, I am the only one. There's no one else to blame. Your personal karma is the karma of the universe. There is no separation. Each one of us is totally accountable, not just for our own actions of the small self, but for all actions everywhere. That is to say, the universe. Some commentators introduced notions of collective karma, group karma, family karma, even national karma. But as Wei Nong points out, we must accept anything and everything that happens to or around us as our personal karma and karmic responsibility. To claim innocence because you're caught up in some sort of group karma is to deny that responsibility, as well as to separate yourself from the universe and from your own life. The Buddha instructed his disciples not to try to judge or predict anyone's karmic fate based on what was seen in this lifetime. There are many who live good lives and go on to favorable rebirths, but there are also many who live good lives and yet go on to miserable rebirths. By the same token, those who live wanton, destructive lives may have favorable or miserable rebirths. We cannot know because we have no idea of the totality of any one person's karmic burden, not even our own. We speak of personal responsibility, but karma is not about blame. It is acceptance of who and what we are in this moment. When bad things happen, it can set off a chain reaction of guilt and shame. Oh, I must have been a terrible person in another life. Or conversely, success and happiness can generate hubris. Oh, what a good boy am I. The philosophy of social Darwinism is based on the faulty assumption that only actions in this life affect the outcome of our worldly or spiritual efforts. Karma is not a system of rewards and punishments. That would imply some entity that judges and passes sentence. Cause and effect, whether on the moral plane or more generally, is simply the fact and fabric of the karmic universe, as exact and uncompromising as the law of gravity. The difference between karma and the laws of physics is the time frame. The karmic results of past or present actions may not crop up immediately or next year or even in this lifetime, but crop up they will. Karma is generated by the deluded mind, the mind that is asleep. The mind asleep is what we think of as our normal waking state, with all its desires, aversions, and deluded notions of reality. The mind asleep is filled with intention, the intention to acquire things, fame, fortune, and to avoid other things, illness, poverty, obscurity. Intention is the generator of karma. We spend most of our lives living not in reality, but in our mental constructs of reality. The ego self, the I of our thoughts, has become the only reality. And that I constantly want, desires, pursues some things, and dislikes, hates, avoids, and runs from other things, all driven by events, feelings, hopes, and fears. That is the nature of the mind asleep. Only when we wake up, become intimately aware of the nature of the mind and its activities, can we see it for what it is, a kind of sleep. To get into the blame game is like blaming for someone for something that happens while sleepwalking. There's no blame, but there are consequences. If while sleepwalking, you bang into a wall and bloody your nose, you cannot be blamed for some personal fault. It's just the consequences of being asleep. There's no blame, but you still have a bloody nose. The same would apply if you sleepwalk off a fifth-story balcony. You're not to blame, but you'll still die. When others are wrong, I am wrong. When I am wrong, I alone am to blame. Another way to put it is to simply say, this is my karma. It's not about blame. It's to accept that what I see, hear, and so forth in this moment is the karma accumulated over eons. We have to accept that fact of where we are in order to move forward. Given current conditions, one might wonder, is the karma of this moment good or bad? Is it the result of good or bad actions? Well, there is a folk tale from Central Asia that goes as follows, one of my favorite stories. Once there lived a farmer. He was a good farmer and prosperous. His son was a big, strapping fellow, and he helped his father with the work on the farm. All his neighbors said that he was a man of good fortune. But when anyone told him that, he would scratch his head and say, well, maybe good, maybe bad, I don't know. One day, the farmer's best mare ran off into the steppes and disappeared. The farmer's neighbors sympathized with him about such a stroke of bad fortune. But the farmer only scratched his head and said, well, maybe bad, maybe good, I don't know. A few days later, the mare returned, and following her was a magnificent wild stallion. All his neighbors congratulated him on his wonderful good luck. But the farmer scratched his head and said, well, maybe good, maybe bad, I don't know. The farmer's son decided to try to break the stallion for riding. So he put a blanket on its back and leapt up on it. The stallion reared, plunged, and threw the farmer's son to the ground, breaking the young man's leg. He had to be helped to bed, where he stayed for a long time waiting for his leg to heal. Meanwhile, the farmer had to do all the work of the farm by himself. The neighbor said what a terrible piece of bad luck had happened. But the farmer just scratched his head and said, well, maybe bad, maybe good, I don't know. One day, soldiers came to the farm. They were conscripting all the able-bodied young men in the district to fight in the army of the Tsar. But the farmer's son with his broken leg could not be taken. The neighbors, who lost many of their young men, commented on the farmer's great good fortune that his son was not taken. But guess what? The farmer scratched his head again. Well, maybe good, maybe bad, I don't know. Of course, this story doesn't have an ending. Life is what happens at any moment. It's neither good nor bad. There's no way to judge karma because we will never know the complete history of anyone over lifetimes, not even our own. And we certainly cannot predict the future. But because of the scorn and vilification by others in the present life, the transgressions in the former life are wiped out. How is it that the transgressions of our former lives are wiped out? Pat Hawk used to say, enlightenment is the total acceptance of everything. But be careful here. Acceptance does not mean approval or disapproval, nor does it always mean a passive non-response. You just have to fully acknowledge where and what you are in order to act in accord with circumstances. If you don't fully realize that you're sitting down, how will you ever stand up? This is not to say that you run out and try to fix everything. Don't try to be a helicopter parent for the world. That's just creating more karma. Accept the karma of here and now, and also trust it. In our Western can-do society, this seems counterintuitive, but we must accept that good and evil in this world, even that which seems distant, is the direct karmic consequences of the mind asleep. Trying to fight evil or pursue good, to fix things, to make a difference, are all karma-generating activities that will result in more suffering. In this time of fear, confusion, and uncertainty, the practice of realizing our karma fully and completely is paramount. Our Zazen, in all its manifestations, affects not only ourselves, but the entire universe, from which we are not separate. With our electronic Zendo, our reaching out to each other, connecting and reconnecting, we've made a great start. A full understanding of karma in all its vast complexity, its timelessness and spacelessness, releases us from simplistic notions of cause and effect, the chain of events fallacy. If one recognizes the fact of karma and its true nature, that is to say, empty and not separate from oneself, then one can take the next step. And that is not only to accept it as oneself, but to embrace it. See everyone, everything, every event you meet with the same open affection of a parent for the child. But do not judge, for as was mentioned, you never know the karmic history of another, not even yourself. It is not given to all of us to effect great or even visible changes, but small, even undetectable changes in the present can become huge and dominant influences in the future. We can never know. To give ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves to the present moment, in the present moment, as the present moment, enables us to give the greatest gift to ourselves and to the world. And that is to live and die with a peaceful heart. To say, this is my karma. Of the entire universe and all beings, all being brings not just acceptance, but peace and even joy. Together with all beings, we realize the way.